I just ate an entire plate of bacon to myself. And am I ashamed? Yes. Was it delicious? Also, yes. We got an air fryer. So we've made it to that stage of adulthood. I don't know if I'm proud of that either. It's kind of admitting that you've given up on the traditional sense of cooking. You're like, listen, I'm not going to use the oven anymore. I'm going to use this toaster situation that's got a fan in it. And I don't really know how the science works, nor do I even know if it's any good for me. Could be throwing gamma rays into my food. I don't know, guys, but I've given up. And I just want everything to be easy as I slowly devolve into an old person. Also, I think my air fryer is on steroids, though, because every time I put something in there, it is done way before, like, the little cheat sheet says it should be done, and sometimes we're burning stuff. So, I don't know. But yeah, we're at that stage of our lives where we were at the stage of our lives where we were talking about air fryers a lot, which is depressing. Then we got said fryer of the air, and now we're air frying, and we're talking about what to air fry. And we're buying cookbooks on Amazon about what cookbooks would be best for Sarah and I to air fry things with. So today's Super Bowl Sunday. I know this is going to come out. This is going to come out tomorrow. But do I have some wings marinating ready for the air fryer? Yeah, I do. Am I excited about it? Yeah, I am. Did I put some money on the game? Yeah, I did. Are the Chiefs going to win? I think so. Because Patrick Mahomes. And everyone's like, Brady's so good. Have you seen Patrick Mahomes play? Does like no look passes and stuff. Brady's so old, he's past the air fryer portion of life. I don't even know what's next. He was in the air fryer portion of life 5 years ago in Boston. Now he's in the tapioca portion of life. No, he's looking great. You know that guy's never had coffee before? Hasn't had a granule of sugar in like 12 years? If that's what it takes to win a Super Bowl, I don't want a ring. Keep it, all right? I want my coffee. I want my good poop afterwards. Then I want a donut, okay? So anyways, hopefully I was right because I put some money on the Chiefs and, you know, could use a little extra money because I've been spending it on air fryer materials. Very excited about the Wells cast today. One of the stars from the Goldbergs is on the show, a show that I am obsessed with. Sarah and I watch it all the time. I believe they used to have the spot after Modern, so we'd watch Modern Family into the Goldbergs. I think that's how it worked. But anyways, we watched every week anyways, but such a great show. And this woman's story is kind of crazy because yes, she's on this like really long running, amazingly popular sitcom, but she started through a singing competition. It's hard to do. It's hard to go from reality TV singing competition to like star of a TV show. I can't think of a lot of them. My friend Katie Stevens, who is on American Idol, she's now in The Bold Type. That's one. And then maybe our guest this week. This is a show you do not want to miss. Coming up on the Wells cast, it's Haley Orantia. Play the intro. Do it. Let's get an air fryer, guys. Let's fry some air.
This is the Wells cast with Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. You got a cool hat on.
Thank you. You got a cool office.
Yeah. Well, when a pandemic hits, you got to
do it up the right way. I feel you.
Turn lemons into vodka drinks. How's it going?
It's going. It's been a little bit of a busy morning, but always exciting.
So are you just doing press for Goldberg stuff?
Today, that's kind of what, well, it's been a little bit of that and seems like a common conversation I'm having is about my home flipping business that I do in Nashville with my family. So outside of that, it's kind of just mostly been Goldberg's mid-season premiere.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, we're back in the Wells cast. Very excited to have one of the stars of one of my favorite shows on ABC, The Goldbergs. It's Haley Orantia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in Studio City, but I know that you live in LA, but then also in Nashville. So where are you right now?
Well, technically, I am also in Studio City, sir. So that's very weird. You might be down the street from me. But I do live in Nashville part-time. I just haven't been able to go for a while because a pandemic happened. But otherwise, yeah, I'm kind of in between both.
You know that I lived in Nashville for 12 years.
Yes. And that's not where you're from, though, is it?
No, I'm from California, but I lived there after college and did radio and stuff. I'm surprised that I never, I guess, like ran into you out there. Where do you live in Nashville?
Do you know the 12 South area?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a place there and I adore it. That part of town's so fun. But Nashville in the last 5 years especially has been like really fun with all these new restaurants coming in and bars opening up. And I mean, again, in a normal non-pandemic world. But yeah, I love it so much. And I secretly might love it a little more than LA. But, you know, depends on the day.
I've held on to my house over there on the east side. So if I ever can travel again, I think Sarah and I are going to try to do half the year in Nashville. That's the plan for tax reasons.
That's such a good plan, right? Right, exactly. For tax purposes, but also because seasons. That's something I miss. And it's kind of nice to be able to sneak off to there and have a little bit of that.
I want to talk about the Goldbergs season 8. But first, yeah, I was doing some research on you. And are you like getting in the HGTV game? Like, are you the next like Joanna Gaines? Because you're flipping houses out in Nashville.
Look, don't compliment me with the Joanna Gaines thing because I adore her.
Who doesn't?
And I would die one day to meet her, but we'll talk about that later. No, my dad, before I was born, was like flipping houses in his hometown of Great Falls, Montana. And then did a little bit in my hometown of Dallas, Texas. And then once I started going to Nashville, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, and we've seen this kind of boom in the market, we're like, why don't we start doing it there? So he started, you know, inquiring with different properties. And it wasn't until 2020 that I actually signed on to be kind of a partner in our company. And yeah, so one thing led to another. And these production companies started hitting us up about the idea because pretty much my entire family's involved with different jobs. My mom, my dad, my uncle, my cousin, and myself. And so I guess it kind of writes itself in that way. But no TV show quite yet. But that would be awesome.
What's your style? What's your aesthetic? Is it shiplap and subway tile? Is it modern? What are we going for here?
Well, in Nashville, honestly, it depends like on where I am. Because in Nashville, my house is very like modern farmhouse. But here in LA, it's been an interesting mashup of like, I always have a little bit of boho in my life, but it's kind of mid-century industrial meets boho in a weird way. Lots of plants. So that's a thing.
You know, good for you that you can keep them alive. I haven't figured that part out. Okay, so pie in the sky, where do you want this show to go? Like, what do you want it Netflix? Do you want it HGTV? I mean, do you think that Disney and ABC would pick this up? Because you got to put this shit out there in the universe if you want it to happen.
Definitely. I also don't want to pigeonhole myself in case one doesn't like it. No, honestly, we would love to have conversations with the Magnolia Network, which is Chip and Joanna Gaines Network, HGTV, Disney Plus, HBO Max, just because me and my family have a bit of a potty mouth, so that might play better in that platform. So I don't know, we're kind of open to, we also are in the process of developing what it would even look like. So based on how the format works, it might cater to a different network. So we don't really know quite yet.
That's like my dream job. I didn't think this is where this interview is going to go, but like, you have to know that I am obsessed with those shows. Sarah and I literally, that's all we watch before we go to bed.
I love that.
So I'm excited for you. This is cool. And when it gets going, if you guys want to do an episode at our house, come on.
Dude, I mean, collaboration episode?
Yeah.
Perhaps. I see that in the future. I think so.
Our budget is $10,000, but we need you to do like $200,000 worth of work.
Right. Somehow we'll figure the math out and it'll end up working out. It'll be beautiful.
But yeah.
I'm so curious though on those shows, if when they style it, if they actually get to keep that furniture or if it's just for the sake of the show. Would you know the answer to that?
So I think, because my friend Brandy Cyrus and her mom did a show that was basically that. And from what I understand, no, you don't get to keep that staging stuff.
That sucks.
It does suck. Because then you get all your crap from like the last house in there and you're like, this looks terrible.
like a dark brown leather couch that you've had since 96 that you're just like, I guess this will work. It like really disappointing.
Yeah. Well, anyways, good luck on that. I'm sure that, I mean, that just sounds like it's going to sell itself. Speaking of shows that are very successful, you're in your 8th season of the Goldbergs. Did you think starting out that this thing was going to run this long?
No, I honestly landed this show in such a miraculous way. Like I really had never worked on anything before this. And so this was like my first real gig. And then to have it go this long on a network like this is pretty insane. You know, you always have hopes that it will. And I loved the writing so much, especially in that first audition when I got it. I'm like, there is something to this show that just resonates with me that you want it to, and you put it out in the universe. But I don't think any of us knew that it was definitely going to happen. But now we've gotten into a comfortable space. I think people like it. So hopefully we can keep doing it. I'm trying to get to Sarah's status.
Yeah, you're close. I remember. So when Modern wrapped, I was having a conversation with a bunch of writers and stuff. And I was like, do you think that there will be a show that will do this now? Like, because it's very, you know, back in the day, those single cam shows could run forever. You had Seinfeld, Friends, Cheers. And just like the way that the market has changed with streaming services and stuff, it just seems like the appetite for those type of shows are starting to dwindle. But then I'm like, I don't know, Big Bang went forever and you guys are on your 8th season. So I don't know. I guess my question is, I wonder if this is going to be like one of the last iterations of this or not.
Well, that's what we've been wondering too, because as we're doing this show and it's still got a great audience that tunes in every week, and we're very grateful for that. There's also a part of us that's like, we're not seeing this format work out as often. And when I watch shows on my own time, it's usually through streaming networks. And a lot of the times they're limited series. And it's just a new phase of entertainment that we're kind of entering. So it's we're kind of all in a little bit of a middle ground trying to figure out what's next. But grateful that we've been able to go this long. And honestly, I wouldn't hate it if we were one of the last dinosaurs of network television in this way. We'll take it.
Your character, Erica, wasn't supposed to be a girl, from what I understand. Did you know that going into this?
So I knew this was about a real family.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was until a little bit later after meeting the creator of the show, once I booked it, that I was informed that it was based on his older brother, Eric. And, you know, with developing the show, I guess they realized that turning it into an older sister could appeal to, you know, any younger women that would be watching, I guess. I don't know. And so I'm grateful for it, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to book it, I don't think. But it's kind of created an interesting dynamic, because every other actor on our show has this sort of like looming cloud of like, this is a real person, right? But I kind of get the excuse to, or the writers are able to freely write for things that maybe weren't applicable to Eric because I've changed to a girl in the show. So, for example, like my character was never supposed to sing, and that's something that I do in my off time. And so I mentioned it to the creator of the show, and then it kind of ended up becoming a part of the character because they allowed, you know, there was that wiggle room in between all of it. So it's kind of worked out for the best.
It's funny, stuff like that tends to work, I think, the best on shows. One of my favorite examples of that, Eric Stonestreet from Modern, who plays Cam, he was a clown in his past life. Like Fizbo was a real thing he did. And so he brought it to the writers and they were like, holy shit. Okay, well, we've got to make this a thing. And that's the episode that he won an Emmy for.
Insane.
All those writers are just going home, just like watching their families, like just trying to figure out like what the next episode is going to look like and get ideas. And then when actors come in with, you know, already like a bag of tricks, they're like, hell yes, this is gonna make my job so much easier, which I think is so cool.
Definitely. I know that with storylines, Wendy McLendon-Covey, who plays Beverly on the show, she actually came to set with a storyline that was something that happened to her that ended up making the show, because it's a very Beverly-esque thing where her mom was actually listening in on her and her friends hanging out in her bedroom and fell asleep outside of her door. And so she like opens the door and she's like, what the hell? So it's pretty incredible. Like sometimes actors do have these little nuggets of things from their personal life that really apply to what's happening in the show. It's great.
Like going back to like them writing the show and turning Eric into Erica, because it makes more sense for viewers and stuff and it brings more people in. But there's also a part of me that's like, if I was writing a show And my family knew I was writing about my family. What I would do to my brother is I would turn him into a girl on the show just because that's what siblings do to each other, you know?
Honestly, yes. I think that in a way, and I've actually talked to the real Eric Goldberg, and at the beginning, he was very okay with not being associated in a way with that, with the show, because if anything bad happened to any of the other, or they announced anything that maybe these people had done in real life, he can hide behind the fact that it's not really him. But then I think later on, maybe he's like, I kind of want to be in the show. Like, so kind of a weird middle ground, but
your character's gotten like a big character arc. You got to start as kind of a dork, and now you get to play the cool person. Like, that seems unfair to me.
Why is that?
Because you get the best of both worlds, you know?
Honestly, it started out where the character was described in the audition to be like the cool girl at high school, like who's always ashamed of her embarrassing younger brothers. And then they started getting into season one and they're like, let's do a throwback ninth grade Erica thing where she's got braces and crazy hair. And I loved it because it allowed me to really step outside of my comfort zone and do some goofy shit I would have never done before. I do say it is a little bit of the best of both worlds, but we haven't seen her in a long time. I'm kind of wishing they would bring her back again.
Yeah, it's kind of like Monica on Friends, you know, that she was.
Yes. Where they had like the throwback where she was a lot heavier.
Yeah. And
but sometimes that's just, it's just such good comedy. Like that Friends is one of my all time favorite shows. So she did so great in that. And it does feel a little bit like you get to step outside of your character for just a little while and be ridiculous, which is a lot of fun.
And I also think it helps for the viewer to understand the character development of that person. Like, I understood Monica so much more when I found out her neuroses and being such a neurotic person came from this past life of hers. And I think that that's a cool way to like continue to grow the character for the viewer.
Especially if you go as many seasons as Modern did, where it's just like, at that point you have to find that sort of like dynamic in there because it's Friends went 10 seasons as well. It's like, you want a little bit of that dynamic in who they are.
The cast of the Goldbergs is just packed and awesome. Who is your favorite person to do scenes with?
Oh, that's so difficult. They're for different reasons. I like working with different people. Like Wendy McLennan-Covey, who plays Beverly, she's just so entertaining to watch because she has this great improv background.
Yeah.
And she'll just kind of throw things at you out of nowhere that you don't expect. And it makes it so much more fun to be a part of. And I can never keep a straight face with her. So I really enjoy working with Wendy. But I also love doing scenes with the JTP, which is like the younger group of guys and Barry's friends on the show. Just because we're all close in age and just the hanging out in between the scenes that is really fun too. I don't know. Like it's difficult because it's always with different people that I have different experiences. Even George Siegel, who's 84 now, I think, who you would think I have nothing to relate to on, but he also plays music and he's just like an amazing human being and has one of the greatest laughs you will ever hear in your life. So I love doing scenes with him just because you never know what he's going to say. He's kind of got this crotchety old man thing that he'll pull out every now and then. That's so fun to be around.
Who's taught you the most about the craft of acting from that cast?
I would say just by watching Wendy. I think she just does so well. Like she's such a great leader for our show. The way that not only just as an actress and getting to see how she can, you know, throw in something completely random that just works so well. She's capable and willing to like just be free in the scene. She's also not afraid of looking ridiculous for the sake of comedy, which is something I struggled with when I first got into it, where I'm like, how do you just be okay with knowing that you look insane right now? Like, or dancing ridiculously? How are you, like people are watching this, but that's just a part of what comedy is and acting and being comfortable in that space. So I've learned a lot just by watching her, and she's an incredible leader to our crew. Like I haven't really gotten the experience to work on too many other sets, but the way that she I don't know the right word, and manage is not the right word, but the way she manages like being the number one on the call sheet and creates these really personal relationships with every crew member even is really inspiring. And it's something that I think allows our set to feel as intimate and fun as it is day in and day out.
Going into the show, were you a fan of Reno 911?
I'd seen a few episodes, but I actually constantly get made fun of by my friends and family because I don't actually, I've missed so many iconic like movies and TV shows. And so I'm now trying to do the process of going backwards and watching them. So I haven't seen the whole thing all the way through. But Bridesmaids, of course, is like iconic for me. And Wendy being in that, when I first auditioned for the show, she was the first person who had signed on. And I was like, I have to work with her. Like, that's just, that has to happen. So it was pretty wild that it ended up happening. And she's just as amazing as she is, but in front of the camera, she's off.
You need to go back and watch Reno because she's so good in that show. And you can and you can tell it's got to be like 95% improv. And it's just those people are just really funny, you know, like.
Yeah, they have such an ability that I personally feel like I lack to just, I don't know where these things come from that they can find in their brain that are, they're so quick-witted. And this one scene that, of course, goes viral on the internet almost every year from Reno 911 is Wendy doing the DUI.
Yeah.
Pulling over and he does the dance. Oh my God. For like 4 years of working on the show with her, I would see that video come back up on the internet and I'm like, this video is so funny. Literally like 3 or 4 years into this show, I see it come up again and I go, wait a minute, is that Wendy? Like I thought it was just like a video someone did on the internet when at first you think it's real. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's incredible. So that's my favorite thing to talk to her about.
So what's the next thing that's going to happen for the Goldbergs? I mean, you guys have done almost everything. You're 8 seasons in. Doesn't look like you're stopping anytime soon. What's going to happen going forward?
That's tough because the writers never really tell me anything.
Yeah.
It's kind of always a mystery to me. But for my character specifically, finally settling in on what she wants to do with her life and a career. And we see kind of an interesting dynamic happen this year with her and her boyfriend, Jeff, who've been together for a really long time. So I don't want to give too much away, but there's going to be kind of a shift in the way things happen with them. And I don't know, it's going to be interesting because this year is the youngest Goldberg. Sean Jambroni plays Adam and he's graduating high school after this. So I don't know what they have planned as far as that transition is because then the, you know, Beverly's going to be an empty nester. So that'll probably cause, you know, problems of its own.
And you talked earlier about how, you know, your love of music kind of bled into the show, but it is a real thing that you are an actual recording artist. What are you working on in terms of the musical aspect?
It's been hard in this pandemic because I would normally go to Nashville and be co-writing with some friends of mine. And I would often just rely on the producers there that I would work with to help me like shape what the song would look like and actually do the recording. But since that hasn't been the case this year, I moved into this house and it does have a recording studio in the garage. Nice. So I've been kind of challenging myself a little bit to record my own demos. And my boyfriend does really great work in the studio because he knows what he's doing. So hoping to collaborate with him a little bit. And I'd love to produce an album this year. I don't know if I would do the full production, but I would love to at least get the groundwork and obviously write on my own, maybe co-writes on Zoom, but sometimes it's really hard to do. It's just, it feels very different. But the goal is to just keep releasing music. I do it independently. I always have. And I kind of just can't help myself. I just have to keep releasing music.
You lean towards like the country genre or format. Is that always what you gravitated towards being from Texas?
Funny you ask. Not at all. I really didn't. I listened to a lot of different things growing up. A lot of soul and R&B from my mom and big vocalists like Whitney Houston, Celine Dion were like very big influences for me. And then it, you know, when I started, I was 14 or 15 and met with labels and was doing more of like, do you remember JoJo, the song yeah. Get Out Leave? Oh, she was like my idol back in the day. So I like loved that song. So I wanted to do like a JoJo thing, just that kind of sound. And, you know, it just wasn't, I was 14 and they're like, we have a JoJo. So like, you know, and It wasn't until I was on the X Factor in 2011 that I was put into a country pop girl group on the show that I started recognizing, like, oh, there's actually country pop music that I really like and resonate with. And once I started songwriting, things were just like naturally coming out with a country twist. And so no matter what I do, there's always going to be a little bit of that storytelling that country has in my music. But I do just love singer-songwriter stuff. And I want to try to challenge my sound more this year than I have before, now that I have the ability to kind of do that on my own. So for now, it's been country pop leaning, but I don't really know where it's going to go the next day.
Well, I was listening to some of it beforehand, and you're super talented. It's just, I mean, it seems a little unfair that you get to be good at like all these things, but it's just fine, whatever.
Thanks.
So the Goldbergs, Wednesdays on ABC, check local listings, 8th season. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you want to talk about or promote before we kind of transition over to my portion of the show?
Oh, man. No, I mean, yeah, tune into the Goldbergs and stay tuned for when music does come out. I don't have anything quite yet, but I'm gonna. And keep your fingers crossed for me that we can get a show on television about my crazy ass family. So we'll see. It's a lot of, we'll see in a moment. So.
Yes. Tweet to the heads of HBO Max and Netflix and HGTV and Mickey Mouse and get this show on TV. All right. Quick break. When we come back, did anyone tell you what this show is?
I mean, no, but great. I'm down for anything.
It's an origin story. I like to find out how people got to become successful, the road you took, you know, the sacrifices you had to make to get to this point. So when we come back, we're going to find out where the hell Haley came from and how the hell she got here. Stick around. Back in the Wells cast, have Haley Orantia on the show. She plays Erica on The Goldbergs. I mean, you've been in a bunch of movies as well, other TV shows, spinoff like Schooled. You're now working on flipping houses in Nashville, which definitely probably will be a reality show, unscripted, in the near future. You're an amazing and talented musician. It seems like you do it all. I'm so excited to find out how the hell you got here. So, I mean, I touched on it kind of in the first half of the show. I know you come from Texas. Where were you born?
I was born in a suburb outside of Dallas, in Highland Village, which is like Denton County, which is more familiar to people who aren't from there. But yeah, grew up in Denton and moved to LA when I was 19 to start the Goldbergs.
Highland Village, different than Highland Park in Dallas, I assume.
Very different. Highland Park is a very wealthy area. Very nice. And not that Highland Village isn't, but very different levels.
Okay, so you grow up kind of in the suburbs of Big D. Are you the oldest, the youngest, the middle child, the only child? What's that like?
I am the only, and I feel like that might show a little bit, but yeah, I'm the only one.
So what were you like as a kid? Were you kind of like always entertaining and singing? Were you quiet? What was that like?
Very bossy, I've heard in my life. I like to talk a lot. I know what I want, and I always wanted to play teacher and of course be the teacher. So that was something I had to grow out of, but I don't think I did, because then I just grew up to be like a girl boss. So, you know, I feel like it ended up kind of working itself out a little bit.
I have no way of relating to this because I am the youngest of five. I like come from this huge family. I feel like where I come from is I was the youngest. I was the mistake. So I was very much like always trying to get attention and always having to be like the class clown and stuff. But I imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, if you are the only child, then the people that you're surrounded by are adults. So it makes you kind of like an old soul immediately. Is that right or is that not right?
1,000%. And I feel that with my other friends that are only children as well, where you're just always around your parents' friends and you just kind of take on this like mindset of, I don't know why, but I've always been more comfortable with people older than me. I rarely have friends that are my age. I've always been that way. And I don't know if it's just because I feel like I can't relate on a lot of levels. I do think that that's an accurate stereotype. It's that we kind of have an old soul a little bit.
So were you in like performing arts classes and stuff and singing classes and piano classes?
When I was 9, I was singing in the car with a family friend. We had like her and her kid. We had gone like roller skating and we were on our way back and I was singing along to the radio and she's like, got a great voice. Like you should sing for your parents. And I was 9. So I'm like, okay. So I went home and she was like, sing something. So I sang Amazing Grace a cappella and they were like, oh, you have something there. Like, do you want to take classes? So it was then that I started taking lessons in my hometown. I joined the choir in my elementary school and I think middle school as well. So I would like dabbled in just art after that. Yeah, I can't fathom doing anything else. I'm very unathletic, so I wish I somehow would have been able to balance a little bit of that, but didn't work for me.
You're growing up in Dallas and then you move to Los Angeles. For what reason?
Well, there was a lot that happened in between there, but I ended up auditioning for the Goldbergs. And it was the week that I came out of her pilot season. I actually was driving in a couple hours outside of LA when I got the audition. And I was told to put it on tape the second I got into like our Airbnb. And so I did that and then submitted it, got a call back and then ended up booking the show. So I ended up moving out here like 4 months after that.
Okay, then I jumped in time. So you said that there was a lot that happened in between that. What happened in between that?
So between like just singing in my hometown at like festivals, and I'm talking like pumpkin patch festivals, yeah. Like my parents were the only ones in the audience kind of thing, to my mom telling me like, you should really audition for the X Factor. It's coming to the US. And I think, you know, Simon Cowell's a part of it. I had zero interest because I just watched a lot of people join those shows and not really like anything hit for them afterwards. So I didn't want that to happen. But when I was 17, I did it and submitted an online audition just to get my mom to stop talking to me about it. And I ended up getting a phone call and they said, come audition in Seattle in front of the judges. Did that, made it all the way through the Hollywood round. And then they put me in a girl group on the show. It's the same way that Fifth Harmony and One Direction were put together on X Factor. So I was put into a country pop girl group and it was that experience that was like my first on camera with that kind of audience, terrifying, slightly messed up just given the context of competition shows like that. But then after that, I had started auditioning again. I missed a step because when I was 14 before the X Factor, my manager had introduced me to different record labels. And they were like, you're great, you know, trying to do the JoJo thing, but you know, you might as well just go do the Disney Channel thing where you get a TV show and a record deal in one. And I had zero interest in acting. I always was only interested in music. So I was like, okay, I'll do what I got to do. Started taking lessons in my hometown in Dallas where people like Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato went to the same school. They're from the same area. And I was like, this must be where you learn how to do that. So I started taking lessons, never booked anything, didn't really understand acting. And it wasn't until after the X Factor that I'm like, I'll just keep auditioning and see if something happens, that I ended up booking the Goldbergs.
Did you win X Factor?
No, we made it to 9th place, which is okay because we literally met each other on the show and had like a week to figure out how to just be a girl group in order to win. And so it was very hard. The dynamics were very different, but we're all still friends. And it was an interesting time. Those shows are cringy a little bit for me.
Was it presented to the audience that you guys were a group before a couple weeks prior? Was it like, this is the girl group from Dallas that everyone needs to know about?
No, we all auditioned individually and some of us had our solo auditions air on the show.
Okay.
And then they put you together and they kind of like take credit for being like, I found all these people and put them together. So that's how we met. And funny enough, one of the girls who I actually clicked with in the auditions ended up being one of the girls in my girl group out of the thousands of people that had auditioned and hundreds that were at the Hollywood thing. She actually is the only one that's doing music as a signed artist. I don't know if you've ever heard of Fletcher,
mm-hmm.
but she's a pop artist and she was in my girl group at the time. And so pretty wild, but we actually ended up connecting ahead of that. And it was nice to have somebody that, you know, we knew a little bit before we knew we were going to be a girl group.
Okay, so you get ninth on X Factor and you go back to Dallas and yeah. Then you're like, all right, let's go to LA and let's see what happens.
So yeah, I was 17 when I started the X Factor. I actually was 17 when we finished it as well. I think I finished out my high school online, which sucked because I went to public school my whole life and really loved it. So finished high school. And then I was like, I guess I'll just audition and figure out. I really didn't want to go to college because I didn't want to waste money not knowing what I was going to do. And I got very lucky in that timing when I went out to that pilot season to book the show, and I did.
And then the rest is history. 8 seasons yeah, later.
Yep. At 19, moved to LA and been here really ever since. So,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm running out of time with you, Haley, but I wanted to do some rapid fire questions before you go. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Rapid fire questions with Haley Orancia. Favorite pizza topping?
Yeah, pepperoni.
First concert you ever went to?
Backstreet Boys.
Nice. What was your first job?
I worked for my dad's catering company.
Do you have a poster hanging on your bedroom wall as a kid?
It was of the Spice Girls, yes.
Nice. What's your favorite flower?
Gerber daisy.
What's the weirdest superstition you have?
That's a good one. Say walking under a ladder, but that's probably not true. I don't know.
What are your thoughts on air fryers?
Don't know how they work, but delicious outcomes.
Who was your first kiss?
Vince from the football team.
Nice. What would you rather win, a Grammy or an Oscar?
Oh, wow. Maybe an Oscar, because I feel like that would be something I never expected would happen. So it would be like even more epic. Not that I expect a Grammy to happen by any means, but both.
All right. When you finally win your Grammy, which is going to be so easy, who are you going to thank?
Oh, definitely my mom and dad. They sacrificed a lot for me to be able to get here. So them for sure.
Haley, thanks so much for being on the show. Your story is crazy and awesome, and you are as well. Everyone, go watch The Goldbergs Season 8. It's on Wednesdays on ABC. Let's cross our fingers for this this flipping houses show that needs to find its way on TV. Go listen to your music, and if people want to follow you, where do they go?
You can go really on any social platform, Haley Orantia, and especially TikTok. Love me a good TikTok.
All right, dude. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It was great hanging with you. Yeah. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, she was lovely. Love her. Love the Goldbergs. God, I gotta get myself on one of them HGTV shows though, right? That's the dream job. That is the dream job. All right, I'm gonna go watch the Super Bowl. Go make some wings in that air fryer. What up? You guys have any suggestions on how to do things in the air fryer? Tweet to me. At Wells Adams, or Instagram DM me at Wells Adams. I could use all the help I can get. Also, if you want to make suggestions for like other guests we should have on the show, whatever, you can tweet to me there as well. Hey, if you like the show, please go rate and review. Oh, I thought I would do a new thing. I thought I would read a nice review at the end of each show to kind of like entice you guys to go make more reviews, because then if you do that, then the show gets more popular and then I can make more money from the show, I think. I don't know. This one comes from Yogi Girl 251. Subject line, love the podcast. Oh, thanks. 5 stars. Here's what she says. Wells is a great interviewer. Loves that he listens to his guests, doesn't interrupt them when they're speaking like many other hosts. Oh, who's she throwing shade at? I agree with you, Yogi Girl. She says, I enjoy YFT with Brandy too. Okay, that's my other podcast. Oh, thanks, Yogi Girl. And this one comes from Freehouse. Subject line, love Sadie. That's referring to the episode I think we had last week or the week before with Sadie Robertson from like Duck Dynasty and stuff. I enjoyed your interview with Sadie. You always seem to get things out of people that one normally doesn't know. I always learn something from all your interviews. Oh, thank you. Anyways, go leave a review like that. Or leave something funny. Whatever. I'll read it on the air. Yeah. All right. Go Chiefs. Go Air Fryers. Go Goldbergs.
Subscribe to Wells Cast on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the internet. Guys?